This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
You always do this.
It's not even funny.
I'll apologize, but I won't mean it. Because I would never say anything to hurt you in the first place.
Oh my gosh. Literally everyone this episode. When it comes to this circus, I'm always the center of the ring. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything.
Okay.
Okay, let me do another one. Of course I'm obsessed with me. Everyone else is.
Okay.
You hate me. Well, I'm Travis.
And I'm also Travis.
And I'm Tyler. And this is Privileged Twinks,
a podcast where we recap the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City,
which is in Utah. Although this week,
SLG,
they're in New York again, I believe.
New York?
They film in the reunions in New York.
Mm-hmm.
We are back with our little recaps of season one.
A little tiny recaps
of season one. And this week we are on reunion part two of season one. And this week we got a lot of Mary and then a lot of Lisa and Heather.
Man, I'm not talking about Mary. This one was so fun. I loved it.
The whole episode?
Yeah, it was just like a constant flow of garbage.
It's definitely like
in the best way.
It informs Lisa's future rant. Like, I kind of forgot how much she rants in this one.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, we should probably talk about New Jersey is back.
Ooh,
we are no longer back again. Lists.
Yeah.
What do you think of the first episode?
I think Dolores Catania's face card never declines. She's beautiful.
That's it.
I could just look at her all day. I think she might be the most beautiful housewife of all time.
Interesting. Not Jen Fessler?
No. Although Jen does look really good.
Yeah, she does.
I'm kind of trepidatious about the friend shakeup. Although it is nice to have because sometimes people get really, you know, the shows can get stale with the alliances that like last too long. So it is kind of good when like shows either don't have like super strong alliances or they kind of flow back and forth or whatever. So I guess that's good, but Jersey's so like vicious, I guess, sometimes, or
at least they're willing loud to be in the same room together. I was worried about that this season.
I'm just talking about like Goldschneider and Margaret and Jen Fessler and all that. Like they're all falling out.
Oh yeah.
And I don't think Melissa and Teresa filmed together at all until the end.
Well, they filmed together this one.
Oh, you're right.
They were in the same room.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's what I was saying. I thought this whole season was going to be them refusing to film with each other, but they were in the same room. So.
All right. Here I am ignoring evidence.
The Fudas are activated.
Yeah.
Or particularly husband Fuda, John Fuda.
John Fuda.
Which I'm kind of here for. He's kind of serving.
Yeah. I think, you know, I'm always a little wary when the men and the women start talking to each other because it very quickly crosses into the men shouldn't be arguing with women. Women shouldn't be involved. Usually don't say women shouldn't be involved in men's business, but it very quickly becomes like, who are you to be talking to a lady?
Yeah.
Type situation. But I don't think it got too crazy. And she started.
Teresa was talking pretty crazy to him, but.
I know. I also like how she's like ready to believe anything. It's just very hypocritical to like, we're not explaining anything that happened. Basically, his ex-wife who lost custody of their child.
Yeah.
And I think wasn't she in prison?
I don't remember.
Came out and said that he used to be, or he was like the biggest drug dealer in some county. And he, and something, oh, and he liked double into dildos.
Double dildos.
What
does that even mean?
You don't know about double into dildos?
I mean, I'm assuming it means like butt to butt.
Yeah.
Okay. It just feels like a weird position to be in.
Yeah. Maybe some people put, I mean, maybe girls put them in both. I don't know.
I think that's what, I don't know.
Anyways. So.
I'm just, but I know, mean, okay, but I mean, okay, hang on. Before somebody, we move on, before we move on. Travis has me playing this little Star Wars game that I'm now obsessed with on the PlayStation. And
you've never owned the PlayStation.
On the Xbox. And I just pictured the double-edged lightsaber as a dildo. So that's where my head is right now.
Okay.
We're filming this. Because I just beat a really hard boss right before we started filming this.
Okay.
Okay. That's not funny to you?
No.
I guess I can't win today. I gave two, not one, but two entry lines, and you gave nothing. You didn't even laugh at them. And now I just told you to picture a double-edged lightsaber having dildos on the end, and that didn't make you laugh? Can't win today.
Hmm.
Anyway, go ahead. John Fuda, Teresa.
Okay. So anyways, just this woman who like has every incentive to trash him says something online and she just like believes everything just because it's convenient, you know? But like people say bad things about her all the time and you know, you wouldn't. So it's just kind of hypocritical. Like, and then just to say it on the show, it's like all kind of, it's just really, you know.
I like that. I think it's at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the guys brought it up.
Yeah, it's just kind of silly. I mean, even if he does, it's just kind of like, why would you run around saying, I don't know. It's just kind of beneath, it should be beneath her.
It's because Teresa, she's a has-been.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Anyways, but I'm glad it's back. I always like Jersey more than I think I do when I'm watching it. I'm like, oh yeah, I do enjoy these people.
What do you think about the fact that people are, it's rumored to maybe be like the last one with this cast before they do a New York type of shakeup?
I don't know. I would be surprised if they do that again because I don't know that New York is like, I think they took a big risk with New York. I think the first season was successful, but that doesn't, you know, but people still have opinions about the old ladies and will new cast like still work out. Like, so I don't know that they're going to reboot another one the same way until they like feel more secure and that the process works.
But wasn't it Andy that said on this podcast that you should look at this like a farewell season or something like that?
I didn't see that. I don't know.
I feel like I remember at least reading that on Twitter. Maybe you never know.
It does seem like there's so many of them that have said they've gotten to the point where they're like unfixable things. And Dolores had said something like to the effect of like Melissa and Teresa, like there's like no going back.
Yeah.
And I think, but the insinuation would be like, it might be the same for some other people too.
And Margaret said that about Teresa too.
Yeah. Well, and I mean,
situation,
mm-hmm.
Which maybe they are on the rocks this season, according to the trailer.
Right.
So we'll see about that.
Yes.
I mean, Louis and Teresa, it looks like he has like literal crazy eyes, like mm-hmm. the definition of crazy eyes. Like even when they're just at dinner talking about random, like normal things, he looks so scary.
Yeah. So I think when you get to a point where the cast is just like refusing to film with each other, like multiple people are like not going to film with each other or interact in any positive way, then like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into this episode, which is beginning with Lisa Rinna texting Andy, saying that she's a huge fan of this show.
Mm.
Kind of ironic because she gets on the outs 2 years later, maybe less. And then we see a Mary montage pretty much immediately, showing everything she does over the season. And Andy starts it by saying, well, she has a strong sense of self, but perhaps a stronger sense of smell.
So dumb. Yeah.
And then he says that again later about the odor glands.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like Mary does not really like Andy. That's the sense I get.
I think she just doesn't put up with the horsery of it all.
Yeah. the campiness. Mm. She doesn't understand that she's camp.
but that's camp. Make her camp?
So we basically end it with showing Jen throwing the glass and saying, I don't want to fucking hear about Mary anymore, or something like that.
Yeah.
Which Whitney said was hard to watch, but Heather said, I love watching it.
Yeah.
And then basically, so Mary explains the odor gland thing, which I'm kind of glad we're rewatching this because I completely forgot about this. Like, even all season of our season, I've been talking about how shitty of a thing it is for her to be like, I hate hospital smell, and compare her getting like a cosmetic surgery to this aunt who lost her legs. However, it's not cosmetic surgery. I assumed it was to remove like sweat glands and odor glands to make you don't sweat anymore. But it's actually...
Yeah, but sweating is like a kind of an important, like, I was thinking like that's not something you would like want to do if you didn't have to.
People do get Botox in their arms to stop sweating.
Yeah, like in one part of your body is one thing. Like in all of your sweat glands is another.
That's true. So basically she said she had this disease that basically made her body keep attacking her own odor glands, and that they were getting as big as like eggs, and to the point where 70% of her body was boils. Mm-hmm. And then, so she had to get them all removed. So that is much more serious than just like, I went and got Botox in my armpits, which I think is kind of what people were comparing it to.
Right.
So then Jen and then they show her do that, say that thing of like, well, Jen's aunt should have ate better and drank water.
Mm.
And Jen was not really activated this episode. She was very, like, dare I say, Zen Jen.
Zen Jen.
And she said, it's weird because Jen actually didn't go to the hospital that day. So that's the real issue, is that, I mean, they didn't say this, but I think it's basically that Jen thought Mary bringing up hospital smell when Jen wasn't even at the hospital was just Mary's way of being like, oh, I know Jen's aunt was in the hospital and lost her legs.
Oh. But wasn't there other people, like, was it other people of her family there or something? And that they maybe had been
It was
there?
Like a friend's dinner or something like that. Or like a, it was at a party that she said it. So I don't know. But Mary does say that she's really sorry that she said the water comment, and she felt like it was just kind of like a direct response to all the hate she felt like she'd been getting from Jen all season. And she also said she's sorry that she even mentioned the hospital smell at all in the first place. And then Jen said that that's the first time I'm hearing an apology.
Right.
To which Mary says, that's literally not true. And the producers say that's not true. And they show the apology.
Receipts.
From episode one, like, yeah. Mind you.
Yes.
Not, it didn't take her pulling teeth to get the apology out. It came right at the beginning.
And she's like, but you weren't sincere.
Yeah.
Which I hate that.
That's the definition of Jen, is thinking that all these apologies aren't sincere. Like, that's her fatal flaw. Because
you didn't admit. Admit what?
Yeah, admit what?
Right.
That you were doing it maliciously? Like, what's the... Admit what?
Yeah.
So Mary's kind of like, you're not allowed to tell me what's sincere and what's not sincere. Like, if I say it was sincere, then it was. Mm-hmm. So now it's just up to you to accept the apology, basically. Right. What you're saying is you didn't accept it back then.
Bear that.
So then Jen says she's sorry, and then Mary said she's sorry again, and then that's that on that for now. Later, it comes up again, but that's all for now.
Mm.
So then Andy brings up the 7-Eleven comment, which is that supposedly, off camera, Mary said to Jen that she doesn't like going to convenience stores or 7-Elevens when there are black men outside of them. Is what Jen says she says.
Mm-hmm.
So then Mary said that she didn't actually say that, and she basically just meant she doesn't like when guys are standing outside of stores. And then Andy says, like, black guys, and she says no. And then Andy's like, well, you did admit it on the show. And Mary denies that she did, but they show it, and she did say that.
Mm-hmm.
So then Meredith says that she thinks, like, basically she left the dinner feeling like she just meant sketchy men, not black men. Which I was like,
they do. Okay. Edit out a lot of the conversation. Like, they don't show these things. Like, these dinners are hours long, and they have to like cut them down. So there could have been a lot of like, you know,
context that we didn't see.
Right. A lot of expounding, or, you know, her saying, her admitting to it might have been after somebody said something else that was a little more clarified or something.
Yeah, that's true.
So it is hard to say, but she didn't, it didn't appear that she didn't immediately, or she didn't say no to the black comment in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't clarify, no, it has nothing to do with black people. It's just people standing outside of convenience stores in general.
Yeah, we never saw her clarified until just now.
But she also could mean like, it doesn't really, she also could be like, it could be anybody. So she was like, black, white, whatever. So if you want to say, but like, but I think Mary is conscious enough to know that it was specified. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a little weird. It was a little weird.
I think, I mean, to me, this whole thing is kind of proving, not proving, but like, even like right after this, Mary does say like, but I'm not into black men. Like, I actually only prefer white men, like dating wise.
Right.
To which
Andy's, even though she's married.
Yeah. To which Andy's like, aren't you married to a black guy? And she's like, he's light skin. Yeah. So I do think like this is kind of bringing up almost like the implicit bias can like affect even people within a certain race or within a certain group of people. Yeah. And I just think that maybe this is not the right cast to actually talk about what is going on. And so I don't think anybody really learned anything from this part, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Cause Mary says like, I love all people. Like, I love all people in within blackness and all things like that, which sure you can say that, but that doesn't mean that you don't necessarily have like internalized racism against certain groups of people that are fall within that.
I remember thinking this the first time we watched it, and I still think it now. I don't think Mary personally, obviously, myself being a white person.
Yeah.
I thought it was more classist.
Mm.
I think Mary's a rich woman, and when she goes to, if she goes to a gas station and she sees people out, like poor people outside, she's doesn't want to like deal with that.
That makes sense to me.
That's what I thought, but, or that's how I took it. But the comment, it was very, I don't know, because she herself is black. So it's like,
I do feel like potentially Mary just maybe doesn't have people around her kind of like telling her. She doesn't seem very like, I don't want to say that she's not. What am I trying to say? Based on supposed rumors that she calls Lisa's child the R word, I just don't think that she maybe knows how she what she should and shouldn't say on TV.
It could also be that she grew up in a position of like her grandmother was a powerful woman, and like, in a, both in a financial and a leadership position communally. And Mary has inherited that. And so maybe all throughout her life, people, because of that position, haven't, maybe like in other circumstances, she would have been corrected.
Mm-hmm.
But because of her position, she hasn't been corrected. So she doesn't realize.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like
saying it certain ways is going to come off. Even if she doesn't mean it that way, she doesn't realize the way she says things is bad. Or she really means it that way. I don't know.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel, too. Like, Jen is, in this case, checking her. And I think it's good. Someone needs to check her when she says something like that. I do think she probably did say
and also,
it.
Yeah. Why not just say you just don't like people being outside of convenience stores?
Yeah.
And when Jen said black people specifically, why wouldn't she have registered that?
Exactly.
So it does put a question mark.
Yeah. But I mean, we end it with her basically saying like, I don't feel any of these thick kind of way toward anybody. So
right.
So then, Mary says she kind of feels like she's been held to the fire this season on things she said, but no one has done the same thing toward Jen, which I will say is true on the grandpa fucker comment.
That's true, yeah.
However, she does fuck her grandpa. I don't know. It just is kind of hard to be like, the circumstances are different because Jen, yes, she's using it as a dig against you, but...
You did marry... It's not her grandpa.
I know. You're right. You're right. You're right.
I mean, and most people don't say step grandpa, so... You know what I mean?
Yeah. But either way, I do feel like the ladies are scared of Jen, and that is kind of where this whole thing is stemming from. Okay, with her saying she's scared of Jen?
I actually don't think Lisa is scared of Jen.
Okay, not Lisa. But I mean, maybe this is where Mary is got the her original idea that people are scared of Jen because people felt like they could hold her to the flames for things she said, but no one's willing to do the same thing for Jen in her mind. I do think people didn't necessarily do that.
Yeah.
Multiple times
this season. And I think maybe it's less scared and more like they don't want to deal with the like emotional whiplash. Yeah,
that could be true too.
Mm-hmm.
But Jen does say she's sorry in this moment for saying that. But then Mary's kind of like, well, you were also all over social media trashing me.
Yeah.
Which is true. And they
some,
show things.
There's always somebody from the cast who gets like a little... too rowdy, especially on Twitter. There's always somebody. And I think somebody, yeah. Heather, I think Heather was saying it where she was like, you just, some people detach too much
from humanity.
Uh-huh. And they're incapable of remembering that the person they're talking about or to exists, like, is a human. Like, you can't just, like, talk about people so callously online as if it's a different, you're not the same online. It's weird because they'll go hard online and then in person, they'll want to like
add. In person, Jen's acting like a sheep right now.
Yeah. They'll want to add like context or emotion or explanation, but you don't do that online. You just like go for the jugular.
Yeah.
So I, you know, anyways.
Who else do you think does that?
Candace. Camille, Grammer, Donatachi, Vicious.
I was thinking of Candace too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Candace definitely does that. I think it'll be good for Candace to be gone from the show. Just for herself too. I feel like some people, such as Jen too, really, really take what, like their public perception or how they even just think the public's going to perceive them on TV and immediately lash out on social media. And that's not healthy for anybody. It's not healthy for the people on the other side of their lash outs. It's not healthy for them. I mean, I've never been on TV, so I can't really say, but I do have a lot of comments all the time. And if you let them get to you, then it's not going to be good, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So Andy says he wants to get to the bottom of the whole Lisa and Meredith thing they're scared of. Jen comments, to which Mary said, well, glam Barbie over there misconstrued it, talking about Whitney. And I was like, since Whitney has done nothing to you this season, you're the one that fucking said it to begin with. So they do show some unseen footage here where Lisa and Mary are talking and Lisa's like, I never said I was scared of Jen.
I thought that was on air.
It said unseen.
Oh.
And this was on FaceTime. So then Mary said that she told Whitney something along the lines of like Meredith and Lisa would never say something like that, like never say what they mean to Jen's face. And then she thinks that's where Whitney got it from. But then they're kind of like, no, you were the one that said that they were scared of her to begin with, that they said that they made that comment. And then they also show Heather and Lisa going on an unseen date, to which Heather keeps being like, you're not scared of Jen. You're not scared of Jen, to Lisa, implying that she's scared of Jen. And so that was just a little like comment that Lisa started making toward Heather, which we will get to later. So then, oh, wait, no, this is later. Because of that little comment, Lisa's like, you're the one that's scared of Jen. And Heather's like, no, you're scared of Jen. And so then Lisa says, here we go. Oh, and then Whitney says something. I don't even know what she said. Uh-huh. Here we go. Whitney and Heather, bad weather, spin the truth, tornado, destroy.
Yeah. She said, actually, the first thing she said was weather.
Weather.
Here we go, weather.
Here we go, weather. Whitney and Heather, bad weather, tornado, spin the truth, destroy.
Yeah.
And Heather made a little face like, you think you did something there.
All right, mom.
That was just so funny. And then Heather's like,
Whitney just looked, she was just like confused. She's like, what?
What the hell is going on? And Heather's like, then Heather calls her Janessa. Jen and Lisa.
Oh.
Which I guess Lisa was tweeting. Hashtag Janessa.
Oh, no.
What were you going to say?
I feel like they're, I feel like this was half scripted, half improv. I'm not sure if it was full. I feel like she rehearsed part of this, but then the way it came out, I was like, I feel like she just kind of like slapped it part together.
I think she rehearsed the whole thing.
The whole thing, yeah. It was just kind of dorky.
It was so dorky.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they showed Heather's face, like, because she knew that she like wrote that line ahead of time. Like, oh, you think you're going to do something with this line that you wrote?
Mm-hmm.
So then that kind of goes into Lisa versus Heather and Whitney a little bit here. And she says, like, I'm the only one who didn't talk about Meredith's marriage, which has nothing to do with anything right yet.
Also, okay, the whole season, the only person who ever implied anything negative about Meredith and her marriage
was Jen.
No one else.
The only other time that anybody did anything was they brought it to Meredith's attention. That's all they did.
Period.
That Jen was saying.
Period.
So I don't like that. Even Meredith's like, no one talk about my family. Everyone in this room has talked about my family. And I'm like, what the hell?
It does. Exactly. I was like the only person who ever did any, said it even got close to it. And you could argue that in housewife spectrum, Jen barely touched it.
But even like,
there's other housewives who have said salacious things about other people. I mean, double into dildos over in New Jersey. Okay. Yeah. And here, and she was just like, well, if you're not getting it at home, well.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and even just where her and Seth are at in their relationship, no one else even brought that up at all.
Uh huh. I very that.
Except Jen all season.
Okay.
Well, this prompts Heather to call Lisa a liar, to which Lisa goes on a full-on rant.
She does, yeah.
You're a disgusting human being. Don't fucking call me a liar. I am a good friend. You fucking lie. You went on your confessional. Everyone hates you, Heather, other than Andy Cohen. You're a perpetual victim.
Yeah.
Later she calls Heather a mean girl. Don't call someone a mean girl when you just said everyone hates her except for Andy.
Yeah. Also,
it's funny to think that I do think Lisa was trying really hard in this reunion to get the crown to like her by taking up for Jen. And it's really funny that in doing so, I think she made everyone hate her. Because I don't think anyone who watched the show goes into season two being like, I love Lisa. At least not when we were watching.
Yeah, it's because the whole time she struggled. The things that people like about Lisa is when she's being like
funny.
She's never, or was when she's being authentic, but she's never purposely authentic. Like her getting a Diet Coke is like, she doesn't think about that because she does that all the time. But that's what people are going to Taco Bell or whatever. That's just because she does that stuff all the time. But when she's trying to get people to like her, it's like she's not good at that.
True.
She always does too much.
True.
But I think at some point she like relaxes and then she's likable when she just stops trying.
Yeah. Like season three, she's likable. And then season four, Monica sets her off and then she's unlikable again. Wow. I did think this was interesting. Right after this, Meredith kind of stops everybody and says, the next one of you that has anything to say about my family, you are not my friend.
Uh-huh.
Which is ironic because we know pretty quickly after this, they go into filming. And who's the only one that talks about Meredith's family?
But was the rant season two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Something to think about.
Somebody should have just said, Meredith, you have a beautiful family.
How dare you! So then Andy asks Mary, we're still on Mary again. I think this whole episode mostly was meant for Mary, but then we keep getting derailed a little bit by Heather and Lisa.
Yeah.
So Andy asks her kind of about the whole situation with Robert Sr. and if there are receipts or if there's a will left by the grandma that says, I want you to marry him. To which she says, basically, she came to me and said, I want you to own become this empire. Like, she wants her to be the next grandma, basically. And in part of that, she apparently told Robert Sr., I want you to marry one of my girls. So,
meaning there were other options, as in Mary's mother,
correct.
Maybe other aunts, other sisters. I don't know how many people were involved in that.
But so it basically seems like, I mean, I don't think just word of mouth that she can leave everything to Mary. So that had to have been in the will.
So then, no, she said it's not.
Well, it's not in the will that Robert Sr. and her are going to be together. But it would have to be in the will that Mary got her assets.
No, I thought what it was is that she left
everything went to Robert Sr. And so whoever he picked. She
married. Mm-hmm.
But so then Andy's like, well, wouldn't that have been your mom? Because she's closer in age to Robert. Mm-hmm. And then she says, well, my grandma wanted me to have everything. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's just word of mouth.
That's family drama.
This is literally House of Dragon.
Yeah.
It is. It's like exactly. It's word of mouth. Who gets the throne?
Uh-huh.
So then, we find that out. We also find out that Charlinda, who works for her, is her cousin, but Charlinda's mom also, who is Mary's grandma's sister, aka great aunt, also cleans Mary's house. And then Mary makes a comment she literally says, they have a little apartment and I have a big house, so I pay their rent and they clean my house.
Yeah.
Which I was like, imagine my brother like has this multi-million dollar thing that he leaves. And not only do I not get any of it, and tons of houses, and that's it. They don't even know. Mary doesn't even know how many they have. Not only do I not get any of the money or house or anything, but I don't even make enough money. And now I'm having to clean the house that he or she once lived in. Isn't that crazy to think about?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's also just sad. It's like you have all this money, like help your family out besides just like making them clean so you pay their rent.
Yeah. I mean, I understand some people have like a, you know, like they don't want like their families to mooch off them or like to feel responsible for the entirety. Like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like different feelings about it. But I also feel like if you have so much money.
Well,
you also, shouldn't have like maybe your close family shouldn't.
I think the main thing, it sounds bad, but I think the main thing is that Mary thinks the reason she has money is divine. I think she thinks that this is the way God wants it. She wants her to marry Robert Sr., her to have all these nice, fancy things. And I'm sorry, you're poor. That's just how it is. And she doesn't think about the fact that she has millions of dollars of trash sitting in every room and closet in her house that she can never do anything with.
Yeah.
And there's people that work for her that are her literal family members that don't have enough to get out of an apartment. Like, that's like crazy to me because
they don't even own it. They just pay rent.
Yeah. Well, right after this, she says that she starts crying because Andy asks if they're physical anymore, her and Robert.
Oh, right.
And she says no. But after being in a marriage for 22 years, she starts crying and she says, he buys me the Chanels and all my designer things. He got me and we're happy, or he gets me and we're happy. And as long as God's happy, I'm happy. Which basically to me, if you're saying I get all these designer things in the same sentence, you're saying God's happy with me. That is saying you think divine intervention is why you're rich.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's just.
Also, this whole episode just was like very obvious that she doesn't like him like that.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And probably would rather be with somebody else.
Yeah. We then also get Andy saying that there is audio of her calling her own congregation poor and stingy for not getting her presents on her birthday. Mm-hmm. To which she does not deny that it's her. She just says it's taken out of context. To which Andy kind of is like, how was it taken out of context? And she can't say.
Well, she says something, but it doesn't make much sense.
She said something like, I was talking about how in the Bible, you're not supposed to like, I don't know, something with possessions or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
But either way, it seems like it wasn't taken out of context. So then we get the first rumor that her church is a cult. To which she says, it's not a cult. We believe the same things as Mormons. And Lisa says, I'm not in a cult. By the way, I'm not in a cult.
Yeah.
And Mary said that her wealth is not from the church, which I do think I forget this sometimes too, that like her church is kind of small. Mm-hmm. And even if these people are pledging a good amount of their money to the church, it wouldn't get her all those things. Mm-hmm. And she does say she has like restaurants and
mortgage companies
and all these things. So obviously those things are what's getting her the money, but it is a little hard to like, I would think if I was in her congregation and I'm seeing how rich she is and like the size of her homes and her saying she doesn't even know how many homes she has. It just doesn't seem, it's just not a good look to me to then be calling them poor.
Oh yeah. Well, it's not a good look to call anybody poor.
Well, I mean, yeah, but especially not like a leader of your church calling you poor. And I don't know. The whole thing just made me feel really icky about her. This whole episode, really. Mm-hmm. So then her and Jen agree to let bygones be bygones. They both apologize again. And apparently they're good for now. So that's where we leave the Mary story. Mm-hmm. So now we get a Heather montage, which Heather cries about, basically saying she's like really grateful that the journey was all on camera. Because
I think she was saying it forced her to have conversations that she probably would have put off.
I mean, she quote says the journey, I'm grateful the journey was on camera. But I do think you're right. Like in that she had to have these conversations with her kids. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to be like the fact that it was on camera. I think it's like she's proud of who she is now. So she's glad that it was documented. Mm-hmm. And she also says like getting all the support from the audiences have been healing. And then Andy says like, have you talked about having sex with your daughters? Because obviously you talk about it on the show with your personal life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think it just came out wrong, but she says, I want my daughters to be wild and have multiple partners. And Mary is making these crazy faces like, no, no, no.
I don't think it came out wrong.
Okay. I think what she means by multiple partners is like, experience dating multiple people before you pick the one. But yeah. When you say having multiple partners, it sounds like...
At one time?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that's why Mary made that face.
Oh. I didn't think that. But also, why not?
I mean, true. She says she wants them to get wasted and to live. And Heather does feel like she's already getting a lot of backlash from Mormons being like, how dare you show all these things and talk about all these things on the show. Mm-hmm. But she also feels like she's getting a lot of support and that she is kind of being this role model for people who like have always felt marginalized in the church. And she says like, for instance, LGBTQ people, or I guess just any woman who's in the Mormon church, which is Kind of a sad thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah, all women are marginalized.
I know.
Mormons.
I mean, it's not a sad thing to say. It's a sad thing to think about. Mm-hmm. But Lisa says that she feels the exact same way. Because now she has all these gay people and women who want to just drink and be Mormon. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And this, I did see Heather kind of like slice eye. Slice her with her eyes here. I think maybe at the time I didn't realize what it was about, but this is their whole thing. This is their whole beef. Is that she feels like she was never allowed to do anything at all and be Mormon, and Lisa feels like she's allowed to do everything and be Mormon.
Yeah. It's because Heather grew up actually Mormon.
Yeah. So then we do start to get a little bit of Andy says on Watch What Happens Live, Lisa said Heather's ego was the one that had inflated the most since the show. And then Heather is like, well, if my ego is so big and you don't even know me, then why'd you invite me to be on the show? Because we find out that Lisa was actually the one that was
recommended her for the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was part of the one. Sounds like Lisa was the one.
The keystone.
Yeah, based on Heather's
book. Richards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She brought everyone in. And so Heather's like, I don't like liars. And Lisa's like, I don't like him either. And Heather, Andy's like, why did you decide to like pretend like you don't know her when you brought her on the show? And Lisa's like, I can show you texts. We didn't even meet until 2017. And the text basically is just like, can't wait to see you in person. And she says, me too.
I thought it said, can't wait to meet in person.
Yeah, meet in person. But that could just be like about the show. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait to meet in person about the show.
Yeah, I guess it didn't say meet for the first time.
Right. And I feel like then Heather's like, I have proof that we knew each other in college because there's another text message that I have from you saying like we were so similar in college or something like that. But they don't show that one.
Yeah. I mean, it also goes back to that whole like this is. People of a certain class in a small city, Salt Lake, the odds that they didn't, that, you know, they run, like, they've already both said that they run in the same, like, they have many mutual friends. Mm-hmm. So they're running in the same circles. They never connected like that. But it's okay to say, I knew of you, but I didn't know you. But she won't even give her that.
Right.
She's like, I didn't meet you until 2017, but it's like, you've seen me for like the past 20 years. We just never like got to know each other.
Yeah.
So it is weird.
It is weird. I feel like it's just like Lisa is doubling down on her own lies just like over and over again.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
Me neither.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. She's like, the point is I'm sticking with the version of the question. It's like, when you say, do you know this person? It's like, I don't know them. Not like, have I seen them around?
Yeah.
But she could also just be like, well, I just took it that way. But yes, I've seen, you know what I mean? Just clarify it.
And just because Lisa can never be wrong.
Right.
So then basically Heather said that she had an issue with Jen wanting to be friends with Lisa because it felt like Lisa just wanted to be part of the glam kittens, quote unquote. But Jen said that's not true. And Heather's like, well, the other issue I have is that you posted shit on social media about every single one of us except for Lisa to Jen. And then she's like, Lisa, you also did that. And Lisa's like, I never posted anything. And then Heather's like, well, you're the ones feeding the blogs, supposedly. And she said she has proof of that, too. And then Whitney kind of chimes in and is like, Lisa has brought me down over and over again. And that's the goddamn truth.
Yeah. She doesn't think I deserve to be here.
And then they break. Quote, break. Mm-hmm. Because now all the drama happens while they're in a break. It's also funny because this is filmed during like the beginning of COVID. It seems like this is like we were talking about was, it seems to be one of the first ones that they actually filmed that they were allowed to do in person as long as they were 6 feet away from each other. And like,
no, cause I think this was after, cause some of the text messages they were showing were at the end of 2020. So I think this was like, what's in the beginning? COVID started in March of 2020.
Okay, but it's the first time that we're like being allowed to be on set as long as there's like masks and protocols and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then like when they break, Lisa goes right over and sits right in front of Meredith, like 2 feet in front of her.
This is and my she friend.
Talking. She starts walking in like circles, even like around Heather and Whitney. It's like right in front of them. Mm-hmm. But Heather and Lisa pretty much start arguing immediately about how Lisa has picked Jen over Meredith.
Yeah, Heather's been triggered at this point.
Yeah. So Heather said that Lisa attaches herself to whatever she thinks is going to be the most buoyant, which is kind of what I was saying last week.
Yeah.
And Lisa's like, I don't care what you say. We can move forward. The past is in the past, blah, blah, blah. And Heather's like, I don't want to move forward with you. And she does start saying that she feels like Meredith has taken enough hits and that Lisa is not being a good friend to Meredith, to which Meredith is like, don't speak for me, kind of. And also,
well, she doesn't say don't speak for me.
You're actually right.
She's actually watching Lisa. She is watching Lisa. She's like, she is just watching the conversation happen.
She's not intervening. Like, Andy, are you sick of all this? Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. She doesn't actually say anything back to that. Andy said, this is my life, which I thought was funny. And Lisa starts screaming something like, watch the footage, watch the footage. You're in your own head. I tried to be your friend. It's not worth it. This is to Heather. Yeah. And Heather said, can you hear yourself? And Lisa says that her and Whitney can never be friends also because of Heather. And Whitney says, Heather's not my keeper. And Lisa says, I don't care. I don't care. And Heather says, it sure seems like you do care because look at yourself right now, all in a tizzy, like right in front of me.
Yeah.
And Lisa says, it's a mind numbing. I can't listen to it. And Meredith is kind of just like, I think anything that comes out of your mouth is misinterpreted by the other person. And everything that comes out of her mouth is misinterpreted by the other person.
Taking it in the worst way.
Yeah, basically. And Lisa says, are you kidding me, Meredith? Did you even hear what I just said? I was so nice to her. Which, like, what is she talking about, being nice to her?
Right. Everybody hates you, Heather.
Yeah. Like, in what world were you being nice to her at any point in this whole thing?
Right.
So then Lisa said, you're so mean, Heather. And Heather said, go sit down and stop talking about me. And Heather says, you don't know me, but it sure seems like you do.
Yeah.
Or it seems like you think you do. And Lisa says, I don't know, I don't know, and then runs away. And she's like, I need to find my husband right now.
Somebody give me John.
Yeah, somebody give me John. I thought this was...
like he's a Diet Coke.
What if that's just what she calls Diet Coke?
Yeah.
I do like, I know Heather was a little pressed for a second there, but I like that she basically didn't do anything at all. And it made Lisa run away crying because Lisa was so, like...
pressed.
Yeah, pressed by the whole thing. So she starts crying to a producer, and honestly, I don't even know what she was saying. It seemed like she was kind of like rambling, and a couple of times they kind of pan out to the other girls and like quiet Lisa, so you can't even really hear what she's saying. So like, it doesn't even matter what she's saying. It's just like, she's rambling and crying to the producer. It was giving very similar vibes to the hot mic moment. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like she took her mic off because it was like low. And she's crying to a producer, ranting. So I was like, this is a little informed of what we're going to get next season.
Mm-hmm. She had a wall. She was unraveling. She lost her temper.
She said, she's obsessed with my best friend. She's fucking crazy. And then we see Andy being like, is Lisa coming back? And Mary says, we hope so. And Lisa says, they can go on without me. But she does come back, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Although, I did notice that in the next time on, they didn't show her at all. Like, trying to get us to
think that she's not coming back. Yeah, she definitely does.
But we know she comes back because at some point, Jen runs away and Lisa's the only one that goes and takes up for her.
I thought this earlier and I meant to say it, but I forgot. But I hate when people do that. And they do this all the time, but it's so annoying when people get mad at each other and they're like, you're a horrible person. You're disgusting. You're despicable. Like when they're just like kind of mad about one issue or like somebody, you know what I mean? It's just so, I hate that.
Heather literally also did nothing to Lisa, like at all.
Well, yeah.
In fact, Lisa was the only one that did anything to Heather.
Right. But it's just, we don't, it diminishes everything you say about anything else after that. Cause you're just like going to 10 on everything at all times.
Yeah.
Over something that's not like that serious.
It is kind of like if we would have, maybe Monica would have just like handled herself around Lisa like Heather did, then I think she would have looked in a better light all season. Monica would have, because instead she just went back in and then they each made like mean girl comments to each other over and over again.
Yeah.
Whereas it clearly makes Lisa even more pressed when you aren't really engaging or when you're kind of like, whatever, you seem like you're obsessed with me. Things like that. Well, next time on, we do see that the husbands come on and we see Sharif and Jen are going to talk about the funeral. And we see that Robert Sr. is going to get pissy with Jen, even though they're not actually there. They're actually on camera.
Screens, yeah.
So, which also makes me wonder, like, is John on the screen? Like, I don't remember. Like, this is backstage and Lisa went back there.
I don't remember.
I don't either. And then we also see that Heather and Jen are going to get into it a little bit too. And Jen's going to have a meltdown.
Yeah.
Well, you said you really liked this episode.
Yeah, it was very interesting watching them, especially the end when Lisa was having like her little meltdown.
It was it was less enjoyable for me because I was taking notes. There were so many.
There was a lot going
on this episode.
Yeah,
but it was fun.
It was just a lot of going. There was a lot of food for thought. There was a lot to like, little things to think about. You know, Mary in herself is such a, like her or not, she's a kooky little character. And there's enough there to like nibble on. You're like, huh.
Pretty much then, everything that then, came out of her mouth. You're like, how does this woman exist in the real world?
and then of course she's beefing with Jen, who is another
similar character.
And then it ends with Heather basically winding Lisa up into a meltdown. So,
and
that was just the cherry on top.
Let us not forget the iconic line.
The weather.
Whitney and Heather, bad weather. Tornado, spin the fact, spin the truth.
Here we go. Weather. Whitney, Heather,
bad weather, tornado, spin the truth,
destroy. So stupid.
Clock with that, T-Mama.
But iconic.
I actually recently saw that on Twitter. Someone just posted that line and that part and then Heather's face right after. And they were like, Heather destroyed her. And Heather said nothing at all.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, that is the end of this episode. We have one more next week, and then we will see. I guess maybe we should just recap New Jersey for a little while.
God.
I don't really want to take a hiatus fully. Maybe we'll take like a week off or something. I do think we are probably going to get a whole Dubai season before we get another Salt Lake. So I personally wouldn't mind swapping to Dubai once it comes out, but it doesn't come out till June and we're only in May. So maybe we'll take a little hiatus until Dubai comes out. But for now, next week we will be back with episode 16, the final third part to this reunion. And if you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe. Please share it with your friends who enjoy this show. And follow us on Instagram at Privileged Twinks. I think that is all that I have to plug. Oh, actually, I have one plug. I have another podcast called Culture, spelled Q-U-L-T-U-R-E, where I talk about every single show I watch this week with my friend Kaina. It is kind of through a queer lens, but we definitely, most of the shows we're talking about are not queer shows. It's just that we are queer, so that's where the Q comes from. But you can find that anywhere you can find this podcast. And thank you so much for listening to this one. This has been Privileged Twinks, and I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis. Thank you.
Bye. Goodbye.